Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute. That's cute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic, no glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies.
It was actually Hollywood's biggest night.
Yep. I think the Oscars trumps the Los Angeles Awards.
Just by a little bit only. Tiny bit.
By a mile. By a mile.
That's fine. That's fine.
They finally did it. So
congrats
good for
to
them.
Them. Congrats to them. What a weekend and what an evening. I had so much fun. First of all, the show was incredible. I thought, obviously, Kirby, I don't need to even ask you what your favorite moment was.
I did have a little cry during Billy and Phineas' performance of What Am I Made For, because it's such a beautiful song. That song is Our Generation's My Heart Will Go On.
Oh.
It's basically like My Heart Will Go On in terms of ballad, and mm-hmm. then Independent Women by Destiny's Child for Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of songs that were written for movie soundtracks that mm-hmm. just blew up and became so like, huge.
Iconic
outside
on
of the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously, like, the movie helped perpetuate the Billy and Phineas song. But, I mean, that song is just on another level. So they now have 2 Oscars because of that win. So good for them.
And she's so young. I could not stop looking at her lips. Like, her makeup looked so good.
Yeah, her glam was incredible.
So Emily Chang has been doing her makeup for the last, like, I feel like year. And I messaged her and I was like, I cannot stop looking at her face. And she was like, she's just like so naturally gorgeous. But it was almost like nude, like taupey, very natural spice almost lip. It was just really really beautiful. And she just, I loved her whole Chanel look, even though, you know, I think she got some notes from people who said they wanted her to go like bigger for the Oscars. But I think she did the thing and she looked amazing.
Agreed. I thought she looked good. Obviously, I loved my man and I'm just Ken. That is, I I could not have asked for anything more. It was true. Unless I was in the room, that would have been way better. I was at the Academy Museum watching this because they have this big watch party. Uh-huh. Shake Shack invited me. Shout out to Shake Shack. It was great. The whole place is just for this party. So there's different rooms you can go in. And the Academy Museum has this incredible theater where I'm surprised they haven't decided to move the Oscars there. I think there's a contractual obligation for the Dolby Theater. But
is it big enough to be like a venue for the Oscars?
I think, I mean, it's pretty big. It's a little bit probably smaller than what they would normally have, but they would have to really pare it back and, you know, tailor it, the guest list at least. It was awesome because it was a huge screen and then they had lighting effects. So when people were winning, like the lighting was going off like claps. It was great. It was so fun.
Oh my God, how fun.
And then if you actually want to go, here's the thing. I love watch parties with my friends, but like, my friends are so, so critical. They don't understand like the effort that goes. And I'm like,
right.
Can we just stop shitting on everything? Like, let's just be happy. Like, yeah. I want to be there celebrating this stuff.
Totally.
I love going with Patrick too. We've gone last year and this year. You have to dress up to go. So it's like a good excuse to dress up. But we were originally, Shake Shack had this like lovely table for us in like the VIP, and we snuck into the auditorium to watch it on the big screen. And I mean, I was so happy I was watching it on the big screen. It was,
oh my God, it was probably like, felt like you were there.
No,
almost.
It was incredible. And everybody in the audience was clapping and like, ooh, ooh. It was like, everyone was so excited about it.
I just feel like he was like truly born for that moment. Everything he has done in his life led to this moment, and it was so good. I was watching it with Zoe. She just was mesmerized by the entire performance. I didn't tell her we were going to watch the Oscars or anything, but she like, you know, the first thing that they talk about when like the Oscar started was Barbie. And then she like disappeared and then came back from her room and she like was fully dressed up in her Barbie costume.
She loves
like
a theme. She loves a theme.
For Barbie.
Respect it. I respect it. Yeah, but he killed it. A lot of people don't realize that was an homage to Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, his Marilyn Monroe moment. Slash and Wolfgang Van Halen both came out to perform because they're both actually on that track. I don't think people realize that. They thought they just got them for the performance, but they're on it. Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt, who wrote the song and produced the score and album, were there. And then all the Kens.
They didn't really get like that like shine when they came on the stage. But obviously, like if you know, you know.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine what it was like in person. But wow. Wow.
I would have been Emma Stone busting my gown.
Yeah. Busting your Louis Vuitton couture dress.
Yep.
Should we talk about like some of our favorite beauty looks from the evening?
Actually, I'm going to start with Emma Stone because I think that she has been looking so fabulous this entire awards season.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, great. Love it. We are on the same page.
Sarah's Emma Stone
holding
too.
Up a piece of paper that says Emma Stone.
I couldn't stop looking at her face.
Her face is looking a little different to me, and I can't put my finger on it, but it's a good different. It's not a what did she do? It's what did she do? I want to know. It looks like her.
It's just like.
But there's something.
Something. Something.
There's something different.
I loved her like kind of corally pink lip that she was wearing.
Yes.
And it was like had like this gloss on her. And then of course her hair.
I mean, her hair looked great.
It was like so perfect.
So the thing that I love about this specifically is that Mara Rozsák, who did her hair, and Rachel Goodwin, who did her makeup, those have been her girls for years, years. When I first met Rachel in 2012, she was doing Emma's hair. And so was, or she was doing, pardon me, Emma's makeup. And Mara was doing Emma's hair. I remember when La La Land came out and they did this big thing at the Hollywood Bowl. Emma took Mara and Rachel. I mean, they have been with this woman through it all. And both of them did her hair and makeup for her first Oscar win in 2017 for La La Land. So I thought it was really special that they also did her for this. And Mara, if you guys have listened to our episode with Mara from last year, Mara has now done Emma Stone for both of her wins, Michelle Yeoh last year, and Brie Larson when she won hers. So all I'm saying is,
I think is she good luck?
Should I be nominated for an award, I'm going to be recruiting Mara to do my hair. I feel like there's something.
Oh my
there.
God, you're
it can't
so
just be the
right.
talent. It can't just be the talent. It has to be Mara. It's the magic touch.
She has, yes, she is magical. Okay, Mara's stock just went high, high up. That's, I don't think anyone else could say the same, that they've gotten three Oscar winning or three nominees ready for an Oscar win. That's
I texted
amazing.
Mara when she won, because people were saying that it was an upset that Emma beat Lily Gladstone.
Lily. Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily an upset. Lily did win the SAG award. So a lot of people were like, oh, because she won mm-hmm. SAG and that voting body is who votes for the Oscars, Lily will probably get it. However, Emma won every other award for the most part. It's not necessarily an upset. Mm. It was just unexpected because usually if they win SAG, they end up winning the Oscar.
I was listening to something this morning and they said that, you know, they were in the room when that happened, obviously. And they said that the room was like really quiet because it was just like gasps. Obviously, everyone was very excited for Emma Stone and she is very deserving of that award. But like you said, I think everyone was just like expecting Lily to win.
I mean, I think that Lily was amazing, but at the same time, so Emma Stone, that was the that was the role of her career. Mm-hmm. That was such an unexpected turn for Emma Stone that when I see people like, oh, that Lily got snubbed, I'm like, I think anybody in that category would have gotten snubbed. All these performances were incredible.
Yeah.
I understand that it would have been a huge moment for Indigenous women and people having Lily win. But I also was, you know, reading some stories in the trades about it. And I think Lily is only in 57 minutes of that 3-hour movie. And a lot of people were talking about how they felt that she should have run for supporting over lead, because she probably would have won supporting if she was in that category instead of lead, which I thought was a really interesting conversation. But both of their performances were incredible. I didn't think it was egregious that Emma won. I mean, she really did the damn thing in that movie. If you guys haven't seen it, she really is incredible.
Yeah. And then I mean, obviously, like, she's not, Lily is not gonna like be a, like, pouty, but she looked genuinely enthusiastic and like excited for Emma to win, you know, like happy that she won, like in support of, when they like pan the camera to her.
Totally.
She looked beautiful as well, by the way.
I did text Mara and I said, if I'm ever nominated for an award, you're doing my hair. And she goes, Kirby, holy shit.
That's amazing.
Lots of fun for Mara and Rachel Goodwin. I absolutely love that for them. Who, okay, so you had Emma written down. Who did you like?
Yes. Okay, well, I want to shout out a nail moment that I think that was like probably my favorite of the evening was Danielle Brooks's nails.
Ooh, I didn't
which,
see.
By the way, we hung out and talked to Danielle Brooks the night before, which was very exciting. So Danielle had these gorgeous baby pink nails that were bedazzled, like French tips, like super, super shiny and fabulous. And then it had a 26 on one of the nails, because she is the 26th Black woman to be nominated for Best Supporting Actress. So she was like, even if I don't win tonight, like, I will forever be the 26th Black woman to be nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And she genuinely was like so grateful, like when she was talking about it. But the nails were like so, so stunning. They look like jewelry.
Wow. I just saw that. The one thing about where I was at, I didn't get to really see a lot of the red carpet because we were going and getting drinks and stuff like that. So I missed a lot of it. I just saw glances. Yeah, this is a pretty epic nail moment on her part. And also the rings that she's wearing.
The rings.
Yeah. Holy like Lord.
I know. She's wearing a lot. She's dripping in diamonds, as the kids would say. The drip. I just want to shout out her nail artist is Tamika Jackson, and she used like the Après nail extensions to complete this whole look. So
that's
chef's kiss. So stunning.
Incredible.
Who else, Kirby, caught your eye?
I can't stop thinking about Carrie Mulligan's gown. I thought it was,
oh my god, me too,
truly just so classic, and the way that it fit,
and there was like historical context to it as well. Yes,
was I don't know, truly I don't, yes, know anything about the fashion, okay, this year.
let me pull it up, okay. You were saying something.
So I was just gonna say that, so if you haven't seen it, it's this strapless gown with this sweetheart kind of neckline, and it's like a mermaid fit. So it flares out, mm-hmm, at the bottom. It has this beautiful kind of cream colored tulle at the bottom. And then it looks like almost like a black scalloped overlay that blends into the actual bodice of the dress. And then I love an arm length glove. I love an arm length glove.
I know.
And so she's wearing these black, it looks velvet, arm-length gloves as well. And I don't think that – so one of the – two of the snubs actually for the Oscars this year were Maestro, didn't win anything, and neither did, mm-hmm, Killers of the Flower Moon, which was upsetting because I thought both Lily and Carey Mulligan were excellent in their roles. Mm-hmm. But Carey really – so Carey's stylist is the same as Margot's, Andrew McMall. And he has really been turning it out for not only Margot, obviously, but Carey has just been home run after home run. I think this is such a classic, beautiful, beautiful gown.
Yeah. She looks like so, so stunning. I love her hair too. It's just like this chic bob. But let me share this from Diet Prada. They posted like a side-by-side photo of Carey in this dress and then a woman named Sandra Hewler. And so the dress was a recreation of a dress that she wore in 1951. And it looks very, very similar. But Carey Mulligan is wearing the Balenciaga recreation. So let me show you, Kirby.
Did you send it via text or via chat?
No, sorry. I'm showing you here.
Oh.
It's a Diet Prada.
Hold on. Move up. But what's this woman's name? Sandra Hewler?
Sandra Hewler.
Sandra Hewler is literally the German actress that was nominated.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me retake that.
I was
that.
Like, she was around, sorry, in 1955.
Sorry, that was because she also had a recreation. So let me take that back. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. The way that they phrased. The way that we're they phrased the question, the caption is like so confusing. But now I see where it's happening. They should have
okay,
two
okay.
Separate
I
quotes.
Was truly, I'm like, how old is Sandra Hewler for her to
apologies.
Be alive at that moment.
So it says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Best actress nominee Carey Mulligan stunned in a Balenciaga recreation of Cristobal's mermaid dress from 1951, while Sandra Hewler, who is alive and well today and also a nominee in that category, she wore a custom Schiaparelli gown that was inspired by a design from another designer in 1947, Gilbert Adrian, by Millicent Rogers. And so, I mean, these photos are so cool. Because,
I mean,
like,
that's pretty epic.
Like you said, these gowns that they're wearing, like Carey's specifically, are so timeless that, yeah, like the side-by-side photo of her and this woman in 1951, yep, so classic, so elegant.
Wow. That's pretty gorge. I love the reference. Yeah. Oh, wow. These are awesome. Okay. Good for them. I love this. I always forget that Balenciaga like does couture in general.
Oh, because they're so like, loud with like they're ready to wear like streetwear stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, good for them. It was stunning. Can we talk about the Vanity Fair,
yes,
after
Let's
party
talk about
looks?
That. Did you see Kim Kardashian?
I did.
I thought she looked really pretty.
Definitely. Actually, I don't have like a say so. Like, it's not that I don't think that they were my favorite.
No, I don't think she was my favorite either. I think it was very safe, but I think she looked pretty like she always does. And I thought it was hilarious that she was wearing a dress that was very similar to Emrata's.
I saw this recently before I came and recorded this with you. And I was like, is there really any beating Jessica Alba? I don't know. I just, when I see her and she gets all dolled up, I'm like,
I know.
You just absolutely kill it.
Forever. She is just like so beautiful always. Like you said, I feel like people like kind of forget, especially over the like past few years, because she sort of has stepped out of the limelight a little bit. But
yeah,
she
I'm
is
looking
like
at this.
So beautiful.
I'm going through this like scroll through of looks, and some of these looks are wearing the person. They're not wearing the look themselves. I think that the way she was styled and the way she looked was just hot, sexy, incredible. I did actually love Jennifer Lawrence's Victorian moment, although people were like making fun of her, but she's in archival Givenchy from 1996.
I was like offended that people didn't like, they were calling her matronly. I thought that the gown was so beautiful. I would wear that. I also loved her Dior dress, the polka dot. Such a moment. I was like, only someone like Jennifer Lawrence could like pull that off and wear it to the Oscars and make it look so fucking chic.
Totally. There was actually a lot of nipple being shown at the Vanity Fair party.
So free the nip.
Honestly,
the nip was free.
I'm a rarely free the nip girl. I'm sorry. I know that like we're supposed to be on support, but some of them just don't look good. They look like little meatballs under there. I just don't want to see that usually.
Oh my God.
I think it actually detracts from like how gorgeous something could be, because you're just like, I see your full on nip. Like, what are we doing? Mm. I will say that I love Jessica Alba, but not Jodie Foster. Hold on. Why am I playing? Why? Jodie?
It would be fine if you said Jodie
Foster. I mean, I do love Jodie Foster. There we go. Well, I was like, why am I blanking on her last name? Jodie Turner Smith. Did you see?
Oh my God. With the hair?
Jodie Turner Smith. First of all, her caption on Instagram was something like moisturized and like heavenly favored or something. I'm like, yeah, bitch. Like your body is definitely favored by the heavens because you're
genetics.
Oh my God. Her body was incredible. She looked amazing. Her makeup was Charlotte Tilbury. They sent an artist to do it. Her dress was Gucci and she just looked like $1 million. If I were her, I would be naked. I would be naked everywhere I went because she just looks so hot. She makes everything look good, in my opinion.
What do you think about Chris Evans in a red suit?
Okay. I could not even focus on Chris Evans because, and I was about to pull this up, I took a screenshot of some of the comments on a video of him showing up with his wife, Alba Batista.
With his wife.
One of the comments was, hey, I'm a cliche and I found a 25-year-old wife. It made me die laughing because there's something about this video that I think really shows their age difference. Like it was unnerving.
It's hard because she has such a baby face too.
She's 25, Sarah, and he's like in his 40s. I mean, I don't like the age gap discussion because it's like whatever, live your life. They're grown adults. But in my opinion, she looks like an infant compared to him. It was like, okay, grandpa, take your pills. I'm here to like make sure you don't fall and break a hip moment. I thought I was crazy because I'm like, okay, why am I being so judgmental? And then I read the comments and people were like, why does this look like a child and her caretaker? Like, I don't get it.
Yikes. Oh my God. Speaking of when they made fun of Robert De Niro or when Jimmy Kimmel.
What did he say? I missed probably.
Oh, you missed the beginning? He basically was just like, Jodie Foster and Robert De Niro were both nominated for Taxi in like 1970, whatever. And Jodie Foster was too young to be Robert De Niro's daughter at the time. And now she's too old to be his girlfriend.
I know. I saw that. But that was great.
He laughed.
Also, I'm going to make a case. I'm not ageist. Okay. Literally, I am like, I advocate.
What are you about to say?
Against ageism, like in my daily life.
What are you going to say?
But no more people over the age of 75 are allowed to present best picture because we had the snafu. Ironically, okay, listen to this. So 2017, we have the La La Land Moonlight mix-up. Mm-hmm. Do you know who was involved with that? That was Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, and Jimmy Kimmel. This year, they're all back together in the same room. And then Al Pacino takes his 82-year-old ass out there and is like, we're not reading the nominees. We're just going to go ahead and open this envelope.
My eyes see Oppenheimer.
Sir?
But I was like, what did he say? I was confused. I was like, was he reading the nominees?
Everybody in the room where I was, there were people there that are like in the industry or like, you know, worked on some of these films, right?
Why did they have him? What is the relevance right now?
It was like the celebratory something of The Godfather 2.
Oh.
And so he comes out and says his little thing and like starts to open the envelope. And there were people in the room with us like audibly yelling like, you have to say the nominees. Like they were like freaking out.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, wait, what's going on? And everyone, like the group I was with, they were like, he's not reading any of the nominees. I'm like, well, didn't throughout the whole show, they were kind of like giving a breakdown of like the 10 films. And they're like, yeah, but you still list the nominees. You still say, okay, and the nominees are these 10 films. And then you open it up and he's like, my eyes are seeing Oppenheimer. It's like, well, do you need your eyes checked or is that what's actually on the page?
But Kirby, he'd even say it the way that you said it. He said it, it was like almost just like, my eyes see Oppenheimer. Like it was like not excited. Like he was just like, I was like, what?
I need someone to break down like if that man actually fucked up or if it was like supposed to be that way, because people in our viewing party were rioting that he did it like this. We just want to say thank you so much to Sarah V. Sarah V invited Sarah and I to the Motion Picture and Television Fund's Night Before party. This is an epic party that happens every night before either the Oscars or the Emmys. So they celebrate, obviously, motion pictures and television. We got invited. And when I personally was telling people that I got invited to this, they were like, oh, this is like the party you want to get invited to outside of Vanity Fair the night after the night of the Oscars. It's so much fun. You're going to see a lot of people. And this party is hosted by not only a lot of the nominees. So it was Paul Giamatti, Sterling K. Brown, America Ferrera, Coleman Domingo, and then the sponsors included L'Oreal. So we went with Sarah V, but La Roche-Posay was also there, had a booth, and so did NYX. They had their Duck Plump. They were talking to people about, which was really great. There were also it was at Fox Studios, which was awesome. They set up a whole soundstage. You get there, you walk in, and there's no photos or videos unless in sanctioned areas or like through photo booths or a photographer taking your photo, which I honestly wish more events were like this, because I think that it really allowed people to let loose and have fun. I cannot even remember every single person we either saw or went up and talked to, and it felt really – it didn't feel weird. It didn't, they weren't like, oh, are you going to like ask me for a pic or like ask me to like be on camera? It was just, if I went up to someone and said something to them like, oh, I loved your role, they were just happy to talk to you, which was amazing. I texted Patrick during this event, like updates of who we were meeting and what we were seeing. We have a fun story involving gazpacho. Sarah, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, so Kirby and I were at the NYX little area. We were going to take photos in the photo booth, and we feel this like little, I don't know, I didn't know what it was, but something fell and hit like my foot. And I turned around and it was like this little like gazpacho bowl. It was like out of a shooter. So it was like a shot glass essentially. It was on the ground. It was empty. Nothing spilled. And then we look up, Kirby and I, and it was Mira Sorvino. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And it was like, oh my God, no, it's fine. I wish that you had spilled something on
me. We were like, it's the like, businesswoman special. We're so excited.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah, that was fun. She was so kind and so beautiful.
So we were at this booth and there were these two games. And when I tell you these were like, they were like carnival games, but actually hard, like they weren't being rigged. They were actually hard games. I'm not even going to try to explain it to y'all because visually you would just have to see it. I was trying to describe it to Patrick and then describe it to other people, and Patrick's like, I need to see a video of what this was.
You have to get the ball from the bottom to the top, and there's holes in this wall. That's like all I can say.
And you're using a wood plank and these rigs trying to,
that you have to pull.
Horrible, absolutely horrible. But the prize was great. So if you won, you were entered into a raffle to win either a trip to Four Seasons Maui or Four Seasons Costa Rica or Four Seasons Orlando. Y'all know what I was
getting everyone for. Everyone who participated, everyone who played the game was entered to win the one, two, or
oh my god, are you serious? You can... So I was still entered to win that? Oh yes, my god, are you kidding me? I was so
I'm serious.
I was so sad.
So there were two set up. One was for Costa Rica, one was for Maui, but if you played the game, even if you didn't win, you would still be entered to win the 4-night stay at Orlando. So Kirby, you might still win.
Everyone start a prayer circle that I win this stay to Four Seasons Orlando. I dream of going back to this hotel. It is like truly my happiest place on earth.
We didn't play that much, but we played like probably more than maybe several other times. People. And as I was leaving the party, the guy who was like manning the booth was outside and he was like, good luck on the raffle. Like remembered me as someone playing the game.
You're like, we didn't even win like the good ones. Thank
you. But I was like, good, put in a good word for us.
But that's where we saw Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple. We told her she was amazing. I saw my girl, Amber Riley from Glee, Gleeks Rise Up. I told this woman I work out to her on a regular basis. Like I like think about Glee so much, y'all. You don't even know. I'm like, I wish it was back. I wish we were back in 2009. Glee grew up with me. When I moved to LA, literally a week later, Glee premiered on Fox. So I had never been able to meet Amber before. And I was so, so glad I went up and said hi to her.
She was so beautiful.
She was gorgeous.
It was like such a good spot because even though these famous people you think get gifted and, you know, are paid famously so then they can just like afford their own vacations, but everyone wants to win something and everyone likes to play mm-hmm. a game. So there were so many celebrities playing that. So it was like we saw Keegan-Michael Key was over there with his wife. Wasn't Bobby Burke playing at one point?
I was on Bobby Watch. I finally went up to Bobby. I was like, I need to defend your honor, sir. I love you. And Bobby Burke gave us some tea. We're not going to reveal that tea, but I was extremely satisfied with the tea that we did get.
He was not holding back on the tea. He openly and willingly spilled tea.
He did. But that's going to be between the three of us.
Yeah.
Love that for Bobby Burke, booked and busy Bobby. We saw Sherilee Ralph. We saw Sterling K. Brown, who I went up to and told him he was great.
Oh my god.
Had a very Sterling K. Brown interaction.
He's his presence alone. He's just such an incredible man. We saw Tyrese.
Yep.
And then we saw Tyrese walk up to Paula Abdul yep. and ask for a photo.
Jennifer Coolidge,
how we could forget.
Whose wig was a little disheveled, I'm going to be honest, but she is an icon, and I definitely told her that.
Maybe that was her second party of the evening.
We saw Quinta Brunson.
Quinta, yes.
We saw Zooey Deschanel.
And her boyfriend, husband, one her of the property brothers. Her property brother. She's huge.
Oh, y'all, tea on Real Housewives. Kyle Richards and Kathy Hilton were there together. That's all I'm going to say. They were there together.
Ooh, do they feud on the show?
Yeah, they like have hardcore sister fights. Well, it's pretty intense.
There you go.
But they were there together.
We saw Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Just like walking around.
Just chilling.
So much fun. So much fun.
My greatest celebrity sighting was Matt Bellany from The Town, who is the host of my favorite podcast and writes a bi-weekly entertainment newsletter for Puck.
Oh my god, I heard him on KCRW this morning.
Oh, was he? That's who was on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's like their contributor for entertainment news.
Baby Bell Hive. Baby Bells. Woo!
I can't remember what he said. We saw Kaia Gerber. Stunning.
Yes.
Tall.
Sans Austin Butler.
I feel like that's like a fun thing about this party too, is that you can dress up for it as much as you want, but you can also just be like a casual party for you and you don't have to worry about people taking lots of pictures inside the party. She looked like she wasn't wearing like that much makeup, and I mean she was still so, so stunning.
Yeah, it was a great party. It was not formal, so you could do cocktail. It was like upscale cocktail attire. And on that note, I just want to say that if you guys are in LA and you're looking for truly a fabulous designer outfit and you want head to toe, the outfit, the clutch, the jewelry, the shoes, go to the Albright Fashion Library. You have to have an appointment. Sarah and I were like, we're going to do a little splurge. Sarah was not able to get over there, but thank she still you. Looks stunning in her Staud dress, Staud gown. You had the highest platform stripper heels you could muster, and they looked great. I was like, F it. I want something that I'm going to feel like $1 million in. And I went, and Emily, who is, by the way, pregnant and works at Albright and is going to give birth anytime, truly.
Oh, my God.
God bless her. She pulled this rack of amazing gowns, suits for me, and I tried them all on. I ended up falling in love with this Vautier gorgeous suit.
Oh my gosh, it's like, I feel like the suit was made for you.
I wish I could own it. There's no way in hell. It was expensive as F, but that's the benefit of it. So it's a rental.
That's the point.
It's a rental. So I had this suit. They hemmed the pants for me, which I was thrilled about. And I wore that along with this Alexander McQueen bustier. They gave me these gorgeous earrings and these amazing pumps to wear with it. And I felt like $1 million.
You looked like $1 million for sure.
So if you're in LA and you're like, I have something important, very important to go to, like I'm going to be walking a red carpet, I'm going to be meeting with very important people, whatever, I would highly, highly recommend looking into it. It's called the Albright Fashion Library. And you do need an appointment to go do a little investment in yourself because it is 100% worth it. I absolutely loved it. And a shout out to them. They were incredible.
Yes. Shout out also to our glam squads for that evening.
We did get glam.
It's always so much fun. And so thank you to Kelly Zhang. And she brought her assistant, Catherine Carranza. And they gave me like a latte makeup, long luscious hair extensions, like just kind of like I wanted to look like a sexy chocolate bar.
You did. You looked scrum diddly unctuous. I was the man in the relationship per usual wearing a suit, but I felt great. My hair was Graham Nation for sexy hair. Thank you so much. Graham just knows how to do hair and he's so cute and like so fun. He gave me like these beautiful waves. And then my longtime friend Katrina Klein came and did my makeup. And then I had our friend Max Bronner, our longtime friend and Sarah's former intern, Max Bronner, who is like literally so now the most incredible fashion and beauty photographer. He like came and hang out and like took photos of the entire process and then the final looks, which I can't wait to post. So we had fun. We had our own little glam moment this weekend.
Yes, so much fun. So yeah, thank you to Sarah V. They really, really pulled all the stops for us and made us feel special.
Thank you everyone for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.